This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وسابقت الأحبة في تلاوته وأنعم حين ألقاه بلقياه ولي شيخ إذا رتلت ألمحه تقبلني من الإعجاب عيناه.
Close the door inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا.
We're going through Surah Bani Israel or Surah Al-Isra, and inshallah today we're going to start from ayah number 2. Last week we discussed the first ayah of Surah Bani Israel, in which the Mi'raj was discussed and the story of the Prophet ﷺ going from Mecca to Jerusalem and then from there to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was discussed in detail. Today we're going to be talking about something very interesting. And firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by turning the conversation towards Musa alayhi salam. Why Musa alayhi salam? Because in the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going up to the heavens and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar in nature was Musa alayhi salam, who was also Kalimullah, who talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. He was known as Kalimullah. So talk about the next Kalimullah after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam seemed appropriate. And then after discussing Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the destruction of Bani Israel and the temples of Bani Israel, the great temples, which is a very hot issue in this day and age. So we need to be familiar with some of the history related to the temples and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foretold the Bani Israel what was going to happen to the temples twice. And this was told in the Quran and it actually happened. So we'll discuss these things inshallah as we go along, the historic aspect of it. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا. We gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the book, meaning the guidance, the Torah, and we made that book a guidance for Bani Israel, for the children of Israel. And the guidance inside it was, أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا, that don't take other than me someone as a wakil. Wakil means someone that you trust, someone that you turn to, someone that you rely upon. This is what wakil means. So Allah told Bani Israel that only worship me and me alone, no idolatry, nothing of that nature. This is what is mentioned in the Torah. ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعْنُوحٍ. The Bani Israel were the progeny of those people that we had carried with Nuh alayhi salam. So what happened was, Nuh alayhi salam, he's known as Adam Thani, the second Adam. Because basically with the great flood, the humanity had been destroyed, and he became, with the people that were saved, they became the means of the restarting of humanity and the restarting of the human race. So he's known as Adam Thani. That's why Allah is saying here that the Bani Israel were the progeny of those people that we carried with Nuh alayhi salam. Innahu kana abdan shakura. Indeed, he, meaning Nuh alayhi salam, was a very grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned in hadith, Sa'd ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi says that Nuh alayhi salam is referred to as abdan shakura in this ayah. لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ إِذَا أَكَلَ أَوْ شَرِبَ حَمِدَ اللَّهِ. Whenever he used to eat or drink, he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he used to take one morsel, he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he used to take a sip of water, he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned also in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْأَبْدِ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ أَوْ يَشْرَبُ الشُّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves about the slave that whenever he takes one morsel, one mouthful of food, he should praise Allah. And whenever he takes any sip of a drink of water, he should also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about something that Allah had told in the Torah that is going to happen. Now the strange thing is that if we look at the Islamic sources, there's not much of an explanation of these verses. But if we turn to the Jewish sources or historic sources, we get a great detail about this whole incident that is mentioned here. So I'm going to translate it a little bit first, and then I'm going to talk about the historic aspect, and then come back to the verses inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. We had judged upon the Bani Israel that you're going to make corruption in the earth twice. You're going to cause corruption in the earth twice, and you're going to become very arrogant. You're going to make ulu, meaning you're going to be arrogant and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very great way. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. The first time you do that, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا, when the first time that happens, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. The first time that you're disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you cause this corruption on the earth, we're going to send to you one of our slaves, and he's going to be very severe, and he's going to enter into the midst of the houses, meaning to cause bloodshed and kill everybody. وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. And this is a promise that is going to be done. So this is basically the first corruption and the first punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the Bani Israel, that the corruption takes place and then somebody comes and he's going to destroy Bani Israel. So that's the first one. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then we are going to return back the... Al-Karrah means turn. Now Bani Israel, they're going to basically go through that very difficult time, and then they're going to be returned back to their former glory, and they're going to then have a high status, good financial situation, good rulers, piety, turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And we're going to help you with wealth and children. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we're going to make you big in population. Your population is going to increase. Okay, so destruction, because of disobedience, and then tawbah and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah returns back them back to their former glory. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum wa in asatum falaha. If you do good, you're doing good for yourselves, and if you do bad, then again you're harming yourselves. Now the next time, the next disobedience takes place. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Look at the mic. Turn the volume down. It's just echoing too much. When the second promise takes place, meaning the second destruction takes place, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ, so that your faces will be disgraced, وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ, and he is going to enter the masjid, and they're going to enter the masjid, meaning the temple, كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً, just like they entered it the first time, وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا, and they're going to destroy everything that is up on top of it, a very severe form of destruction. So again, one destruction takes place, and then the glory of Bani Israel returns, and then the second destruction takes place after that. Why? Because they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mercy upon you. Meaning if you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be merciful. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. And if you return back to being disobedient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to respond in like, that you're going to be punished again. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. And we made Jahannam for the disbelievers as a hasir. Hasir means something that surrounds somebody. Hasr. In Urdu we use this word too. That it's something that surrounds, you call it hasr. Okay, so hasir, something that surrounds somebody. And according to the Mufassirin, some scholars say it means cradle, it means a fort, a prison, and so on and so forth. But we made Jahannam for the disbelievers as a hasir, as a something that surrounds them. So now, historically, what does all this mean? After the death of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Sulaiman alayhi salam left the Bani Israel in a situation where they are in the peak of their glory. And he built this huge temple which was very majestic and very beautiful. And we know that according to even Islamic history, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he used to have the help of the jinns to help him construct things and to even construct the temple. The jinns used to help him, and with this help and with this assistance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled him to build a huge majestic temple. So when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, the situation was that the Bani Israel, the Israelites, were at the peak of their glory and the peak of their history. But after he passed away, they started disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they started getting into idolatry, worshipping idols. And the same temples in which they were supposed to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they started committing, na'udhu billah, fornication inside them. And using them for illicit activities and for bad activities. So Allah sent to them prophets again and again. Amongst them was a prophet called Zakariya alayhi salam, not the Zakariya who was the father of Yahya, but a different Zakariya. So they killed him also. Different prophets came, they kept on killing. But particularly about Zakariya, it's mentioned in Jewish sources that his blood, basically it fell onto the floor of the temple and it continued to boil for centuries. And you know, while this blood is boiling, you can see the blood boiling on the earth. This actually, the boiling blood, it is mentioned in a riwayah, which I'll mention in a minute. So this blood is boiling, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to destroy these people who are causing these disturbances and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a bad way. He sends to them somebody called Bukhtnasar, who was the king of Babylon. Babylon, which is today Iraq. Bukhtnasar Nebuchadnezzar. It's a very long name, I can't even remember, but in Arabic he's known as Bukhtnesar. He came and he basically destroyed the temple. He sent his son, and his son actually saw this boiling blood on the ground. He said, "What is this boiling blood?" They said, "Well, we killed this prophet, and for the last couple of hundred years, this blood has been boiling." So he said that, "What I'm going to do is, for the vengeance of this blood, I'm going to destroy everybody here." So according to Jewish sources, more than a million people were killed by this person, and the temple was burned down. After which, the blood, it stopped boiling. So this was the first punishment that was sent to Bani Israel. The temple that was built by Sulaiman alayhi salam, it was destroyed in a huge fire. And after that, these people went into exile. After a while, they made tawbah and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to flourish. They became rich, and again they started gaining some of that same honor and glory that they had before. And then in the time of Cyrus, who was a Roman king, he called them back and he told them, he allowed them to start rebuilding that temple, which they started to do. After a few years into building the temple, he passed away, and the son of Cyrus, whose name was Cambyses, he became the ruler, and he continued to allow them to build the temple also. After that, after Cambyses came Darius. Darius also allowed them to build the temple, and the temple was completed in 516 BC. Okay, so it was destroyed initially 586 BC, and it was then rebuilt 516 BC. Okay, because when you come BC, you go backwards, the numbers, right? So the closer you come to Isa alayhi salam, the numbers become less. Okay, because BC means before Christ, before Isa alayhi salam. So 516 was when the temple was rebuilt. 586 was when it was destroyed, BC. 516, so basically about 70 years or so later, was when it was rebuilt. Okay, so this was the second building of the temple. But what happened? Again, they continued, flourished, everything became good. Titus was a Roman emperor. Islam was destroyed. Roman emperor. History of Israel. When the be very corruption. So Bukht Nasr comes and he destroys the people, killing a million or so because of their tyranny, because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, which was something that they were forbidden to do. وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. Allah says this was a promise that was going to take place. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then we returned the turn back to them, meaning they went back to their former glory and started making tawbah, starting obeying only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the same honor again. وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And we helped you with wealth and children. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we made you huge in population. إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you do good, then you're doing good for yourself. وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. And if you do bad, then again, you're only harming yourself. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When the second promise came, the second promise of destruction, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. So that the faces could be so that they could disgrace the faces, and they could enter the masjid as they entered the first time, and they destroy everything on it in a very harsh way. So this is the second destruction of the temple, which was done by the Roman Empire, and which was done by Titus in 70 BC. Okay, so this was the second destruction. First destruction, second destruction, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes basically to the dot as it occurred historically. If you refer to Jewish sources, if you refer to historic sources, this is exactly what you will get. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. It is very close that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to have mercy upon you. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. If you basically repent to Him, then Allah will accept you and give you mercy. But if you return back to your old ways, عُدْنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will return back too. I will treat you the same way and you will be punished the same way. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. And we made the hellfire for the disbelievers as a hasir, as a surrounding. So really, this is the history of what happened to Bani Israel, the Israelites, prior to Islam coming. After that, the Romans basically took over. Okay, now, this is a very critical thing to understand. You know, this whole issue of Israel and the creation of Israel, and what the people claim that it's supposed to be promised to them in the Bible and so on. This is actually, historically, it's completely false. After this destruction of the Second Temple, there has been no Jewish rule whatsoever until 1948. For 2,000 years, basically, there has been no Jewish control of the Holy Land of Palestine until 1948. So the question is that if it was promised to them in the Bible, why did it take 2,000 years? In the meantime, you had the Romans or the Christians ruling, and then after that you had the Muslims ruling, and then the Crusaders came and they ruled for a while, and then the Muslims again. Okay, and then after that you had the British rule, colonialism, and the destruction of the Ottoman Empire, and then after that the formation of Israel. So all this time, over 2,000 years, why were the Jews in exile, and why were they under the rule of either Christians or Muslims? That's the question. So that's why also, if you look at the real Orthodox Jews that say that we live by the Torah, they will actually tell you that there is no religious precedent for the formation of the country called Israel. They do not agree with it because they believe that according to the teachings of the Torah, that the Jews are supposed to live in exile. They're not supposed to have a homeland. They're not supposed to have a country that is regarded as a Jewish state because of the things that are mentioned here, the destruction of the temples and everything. After that, there was to be no Jewish ruling. There's not supposed to be, again, according to them, according to the Orthodox Jewish teachings, there's not supposed to be a Jewish homeland. They're supposed to live in exile. And even some of the Orthodox Jews that do live in Israel, they still believe that they're not supposed, they still believe that they're in exile, even that they're living under the rule of the Israeli state. but they still believe they're in exile, but because of the benefits that they get, the welfare that they get, the housing that they get, etc., because of that is provided to them by the government, they don't say anything. They accept it. But, you know, if you look at it religiously, and also if you look at it historically, you know, the formation of Israel, there is no religious foundation for it, and there is no ethical or, you know, logical foundation for the formation of Israel. Okay, so this is something that we should be aware of. Having said that, obviously the Israel is there, so we would pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for the Palestinian people, that they get their own homeland, and a two-state solution, which is basically what most people want. It is formulated in such a way that both Palestinians and the Israelis can live side by side in peace. That is something that we should hope for. But again, historically speaking, religiously speaking, look at these verses, and they tell you that by after this time, there was not supposed to be any kind of return of the Jewish people to rule the actual land. They were exiled, and the destruction of the temples took place twice, and then after that, there was never a time that they actually came back and they ruled. So, however, there is a very small minority of people that they say that the temple is supposed to be built a third time. Okay, this is from the Jewish sources. A very small minority of people that say that. And the third time, according to their understanding, where Baitul Muqaddas is right now and the Dome of the Rock stands right now, that's where the third that's where the temple was, and that's where they believe the temple is supposed to be resurrected again. So again, it's a very, very critical issue. It's a very touchy issue. It's a very sensitive issue for the Muslims as well as for the Jewish people. Now, the Wailing Wall that the Jews actually stand next to, and they basically do their worship, this is the remnants of the temple that was destroyed by the Romans. This is the only thing remaining of that temple. That's why they go to that wall and they worship at that particular wall in remembrance of the destruction of the temple, the only part of the temple that still remains. So again, a history lesson for us a little bit, and also a little bit of the you know, things which are happening over there as related to us in the Quran. The history of that is, it's very important for us to understand and internalize and relay that to other people, inshallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.
They say